When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Morgan's Pop Talks, bringing on the latest in reality TV and pop culture. Thank you so much for being here today. A lot of things to discuss. It was a pretty busy week. I mean, I feel like only a few things happened, but they're pretty big. We've been seeing them all over the headlines. But of course, before we get into the pop three, you know, I have to do the top of the show, word vomit, brain dump, all the things. Not to like make it all about me, but it is my birthday on Friday, 31. The big 3-1, no plans. And I could not be happier about that. Actually, you want to know what my plans are? As of right now, I'm going to Texas Roadhouse, baby, with the family. Ugh. Cinnamon butter, that cinnamon butter on those rolls, that ranch. I don't know. Do they put crack in the ranch? I don't know, but I daydream about the ranch at Texas Roadhouse. Ugh. Like that is the way that I'm bringing in my 31st birthday. Living truly my best life with my family, because I only have like, I have like 3 friends in real life, and then I hang out with my family, and that's literally it. So I'm very excited to turn 31. I feel like it's going to be a big year. I feel like, you know, a lot of us are scared to get older, and yes, true, I am, but also life has just been getting better, you know, as I get older, which leads me to my next point. You guys, this is big news, breaking news. Dun, 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 dun. David and I are moving into a house. Yay, me, adulting, 31 years old, baby, 31. I keep wanting to say 30, flirty and thriving, but like nothing goes with 31. We got to come out with a 31-year-old catchphrase. But yeah, David and I are moving into a house. We didn't buy it. Not in this economy. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Literally, David and I have been looking for houses. And I want to say you would not believe, but like you would. If you're on the house hunt right now, you know it is a struggle out there. You're paying $350,000 for pink carpet and wallpaper that was put in 1803, the same year that Ohio was declared a state. You know, like that's what we're working with out here. But David and I, you know, we've been casually looking, living our lives on Zillow. You know, their email, Zillow stays in my email every time something comes up. And something just popped up right around the corner. It was a house for rent. And we were the first people to look at it. And we loved it, you guys. We loved it. So I'm moving. I've only ever lived in this apartment building for 5 years, 6 years. David and I are the only people under the age of 65. I'm going to miss my seniors. Arsenio, I love Arsenio. He's my upstairs neighbor, straight from Italy. Cleto, my landlord, that is 92, but he cares about this place. He puts his blood, sweat, and tears into this place. He's 92, and he will still come and fix a light bulb for me. So I'm going to miss him. I really am. They're good people. Cleto, he's got a little vegetable garden on the side of the apartment complex. He always brings me fresh tomatoes. He knocks on the door. It's like, Morgan, you want some tomatoes? I can't do his voice, but just the sweetest soul. So it's bittersweet, but you know what? We're moving on up. Our first house. So maybe I'll take you along the journey. Wow. 4-minute top of the show rant. I got to get a move on. Let's talk about the pop three. These are the 3 biggest headlines in the reality TV and pop culture world. Let's start with the Real Housewives of Atlanta. Kind of in disarray, if you ask me. So we've had no idea what's going on with the Real Housewives of Atlanta for a while. You know, the last season was kind of a bust. I actually stopped watching like five or six episodes in, which is very telling. You know, it's my job to stay on top of these shows, but if it loses my interest, it loses my interest, and I'm not going to pretend to be interested in something. I feel the same way right now about Potomac. It's just not hitting like it used to, which is sad because in their prime, Potomac and Atlanta, like top of the list when it comes to Housewives franchises. But I do also understand that I think every franchise goes through, you know, seasons where they're at the top and seasons where it's just not hitting like it used to. So Atlanta, unfortunately, in that questionable area right now, but Candy Burris made the announcement that she is leaving. Candy Burris, an OG, what was she on the show for 14 years, a staple to the Real Housewives of Atlanta. So she was at the Grammys, which we are also going to talk about, by the way. She was at the Grammys. She was doing a red carpet interview with Variety, and this is what she said. She said, well, it's been 14 seasons and they allowed us to sit around for a little too long because they were making a decision. But during that time, I had started working on a lot of other things and I got some nice big project coming soon. So she said she wasn't coming back. She also talks about this conversation that she had with one of her friends. She says, a friend of mine was like, why do you keep doing it? And she said, well, I think I've just been doing it for so long. It just feels weird to think not to do it. And then she says, so I said, you know what? Take a break. I'm going to take a moment. So she didn't roll out coming back ever, you know, like, is this going to be a pause situation or I don't know. But she does say, we're still going to do things together. So, I mean, when she says something like that, I'm thinking a girl's trip, but who knows? So yeah, it is sad, but I feel like for the past couple of years, you can kind of tell that Candy has been not necessarily over it, but maybe even like quiet quitting where, you know, she put in the work for so long. She was the main topic of conversation with some really like crazy things in the past when you think about it. And it's like, do you want to put yourself through that kind of stuff for 14 years? You know, probably not. And she doesn't need it. She's worldwide. She doesn't need it. She's worldwide. So what are they going to do? There's this online rumor that Portia is coming back and Kenya, which Kenya was already on the show. But I want to remind you, Portia left the show after marrying her husband, Simon, who at that time, the last time that Portia was on Atlanta, Simon was married to another woman on the cast. She was a friend of, I honestly can't even remember her name because I feel like she was only a friend of for one, maybe two seasons. But yeah, so it seems like Portia was running away from that storyline a little bit. You know, she wanted to protect her new marriage, but maybe she'll come back. I think Portia is just, she just makes for such great television that I would welcome it with open arms. Kim Zolciak, you know, people are asking that question. Is Kim Zolciak going to come back to Atlanta? Like, her life right now is also in disarray. People have no idea what's going on with her and Croy. I did listen to Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald, and she had Carlos King on, who used to be a producer of Atlanta, and he said that they weren't talking to Kim, that nobody has reached out. So, you know, it's interesting. I feel like Kim is a fine line of would it make for great TV? Yes, but would it also make you feel a little icky inside? Also, yes, you know, it's like you want to watch these shows and you want to get in the drama and you want to get invested and you want it to be jam-packed, but you don't want it to leave you feeling like, ugh, what did I just witness? And I feel like it's kind of a fine line with Kim and Croy right now. But yeah, you know, Andy was on his radio show saying that he was really excited about casting and that when Candy finally made the decision that she wasn't going to come back, it allowed him to put some more pieces of the puzzle together. I mean, he has to calm the panic. What is he going to come out and say? Yeah, it's a nightmare. You know, like, he's never going to come out and say that. Phaedra, maybe, with Candy exiting. I mean, Phaedra is killing it on the Traitors right now. She is like the most beloved person on the cast. So who knows? Maybe we'll see a Phaedra come back. All right, let's move on to headlines.
There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. It's something that I have struggled with in the past, which is why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best with no complicated routines, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. Right now, I'm using the OS1 Eye Topical Supplement to help strengthen and firm the skin around my eyes. So far, I've noticed it has improved hydration and improved firmness. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code POPTALKS at OneSkin.co. That's 15% off OneSkin.co with code POPTALKS. After your purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support the show and tell them I sent you because I love you like a sis.
And number two, the Grammys were this week. Specifically, everybody is talking about Taylor Swift. Anytime Taylor Swift shows up to an awards show, the whole entire thing is going to be about her. It doesn't matter if she really tries to or not. But there were some viral moments, one that includes Celine Dion, another that includes Lana Del Rey. So we're going to get into both of them. The internet obviously has some thoughts on Taylor at the Grammys. I just want to say to my Swifties out there, it's going to be okay. Okay, you love me? You love me like a sis? Can we talk about it? Can we talk about it really honestly and truly? Can we? All right, we're going to do it. Those two moments did make me feel pretty awkward, you know, watching at home on my couch with like pizza bagel stains on my shirt. So like, who am I to talk, right? But the first thing that really was not pleasant for me to watch was her dragging Lana Del Rey up on stage. It's so hard though, you know, because it was for Album of the Year. Lana was nominated. Lana lost. Taylor won, right? But they're all friends. You know, Jack Antonoff was there. Lana was there. They're all besties. They're all in the clique. And Taylor's like, no, come up. And you could tell, like, it looked like Taylor Swift was ripping her arm off, to be quite honest with you. But Lana, she clearly didn't want to go up on stage. She just lost the award, you know? So it's like, I feel like to Taylor Swift, it would be really easy for her to be sitting at the table with her besties, Lana and Jack, and Album of the Year goes to Midnight's Taylor Swift. And she stands up, she's like, oh my gosh. And, you know, they're hugging, whatever. And Taylor's like, Lana, come. You are a part of this album. You inspire me. Come. You know, you're so important to me. I couldn't do this without you. You know, like those types of sentiments. I can see where Taylor's brain would go to that. But like, Lana didn't want to go. I felt like she's like shuffling her feet. She gets up on stage. She's standing in the back and she looks like a sad puppy dog. I mean, truly, it made me uncomfortable. It really did. And then the Celine Dion thing, which people... Can I just go on a sidebar for a second before we talk about Taylor Swift? I can't deal with, I know it's a part of life. When we get older and our icons from our childhood also get older and they start to deal with things that we don't necessarily want them to deal with. But I can't handle the fact that Celine Dion has stiff person syndrome and can't perform. I can't. It really bothers me. That and Bruce Willis. I can't. The fact that Bruce Willis has dementia makes me so sad. Like, we're at the age, you guys, where our icons are getting older and it's just a part of life, but it makes me so sad. So the fact that Celine Dion was even there, I was like, oh my God, a new day has come. Truly, Queen Celine is there presenting an award. Nobody had any idea. You know, I just couldn't even believe it. So just knowing what Celine is going through, me, a commoner, sitting on my couch. If I was called up for that award, I mean, I would kiss her feet, I think. I would bow to her. Of course, Taylor Swift, I mean, she's an icon and a legend in her own right. So, like, is she going to bow to her? Probably not. But I feel like in that moment, too, Taylor's squad was her first priority. You know, she was running around. She's hugging everybody. She's like, oh, my God, I can't believe these guys. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. Oh, my God. And she just takes the Grammy from Celine. And like, it's one thing if you don't hug her, right? Because we know she's got health issues. You don't know. You don't want to overstep, especially in today's day and age. But you guys, she didn't even look at her in the eyes. It's true. Roll the tapes. Watch the tapes. She doesn't even look at her in the eyes. And it's just made for an uncomfortable moment. It's easy to get carried away in the moment. It is. It's your 13th Grammy win. You're lucky number 13. You're getting ready to announce a new album. It's easy to get carried away, but you got to look Queen Celine in the eyes. You do. Here's what I don't like, though. There seems to be two extremes when it comes to anything that Taylor Swift does. A, she can never do anything wrong. And B, everything she does is wrong. And it feels like nobody wants to acknowledge that there is an in-between when it comes to public perception. I'm not the biggest Swiftie in the world. I can very much so appreciate her talent. She makes bangers. And her followers, she has a cult-like following, and that takes skill to garner a following like that. But why can't people just say, yeah, it wasn't the best look that Taylor Swift didn't make eye contact with Celine Dion while she was on stage? You know, she posted a photo of her hugging Celine backstage, and it's like, it's not the end of the world. I just think it's really easy to compare to when you see Miley, you know, having a moment with Mariah Carey, when you see SZA running and hugging Lizzo. There was just such a stark contrast to everything we had seen that, you know, previously in the night. And like I said, Taylor Swift just does have this cult-like following. And you know what? If you're going to join a cult, like join one like that. You know, the Taylor Swift cult, it's not going to hurt anybody. Is it over the top? Is it extra? Sure. Some people will look at it and be like, what's wrong with you? But people probably say the same thing about me. I've rewatched Vanderpump Rules 4 times. For the 4th time, I just watched Jax Taylor steal sunglasses in Mexico, you know? And I don't care if people think I'm nuts for it. I am nuts. But this is how I like to live my life. So if you like to live your life being obsessed with Taylor Swift, do it. You're not going to get to the end of your life on your deathbed and think, man, I wish I would have listened to less Taylor Swift. Or I really wish I wouldn't have watched Jax Taylor get arrested in Mexico 4 times. You're just not. So enjoy your life. Join the cult. But just also be able to admit when somebody does something wrong. Okay? Okay. Is that okay, Swifties? Are you mad at me? Are you mad at me? Don't be mad at me. You know I love you. Okay. Last but certainly not least. Let's talk about Britney and Justin. Britney and Justin. Yeah. 2002? Nope. It's 2024. But Britney and Justin are still fighting. Let's set the scene. The scene started way back in October. I can't remember. Britney's memoir came out in November, I believe. But there were obviously press, not leaks. I mean, she did it to promote the book. October was when we all found out about the abortion that Britney had when she was with Justin. Because according to her in the book, Justin said that they were too young and he didn't want to be a father. So I think, now I don't know for sure, but I think that Justin's comeback was supposed to happen earlier than now. I think it was supposed to come around this time, but this obviously sent him into a tizzy and he couldn't do it. And I'll tell you why I think that a little bit later. But so that all happened. He takes a little break, but in the back of his mind, he knows that he's making a comeback, right? So then he comes out and he releases his new song, Selfish. Britney fans go and find a Britney song that's named Selfish from 2011, and they all stream that nonstop to make sure that Justin doesn't get number one on like the iTunes chart or something. Britney then gets on her Instagram. She posts a video of Justin Timberlake and Jimmy Fallon, and she's like, I'm sorry if I offended anyone in my book. I love Justin's new song, Selfish. I also love Justin Timberlake and Jimmy Fallon, right? An olive branch. Then Justin has a concert in New York City. He gets on stage. Cry Me a River is playing in the background. You know, and he's like, I'm not apologizing to bleeping anyone. And I was just like, oh, God. Oh, God. Here we go. Read the room, Justin, for the love of God. Can you read the room? He didn't. So then Britney gets on her Instagram again, and she was like, I heard someone's talking bleep in the streets. I'm not sorry. Go cry to your mom. I'll take you to court. You know, all these things. And we're like, okay, let's take a deep breath and exhale
I'm just like, Justin, why would you do something so stupid to yourself? Honestly, honestly.
So then this comes out via the Daily Mail, but a source tells this to The Sun. Justin is really not happy how things have gone down. He wanted his music to speak for itself, but that's clearly not happening. His comments on stage have only added fuel to the fire. The idea of a sit-down chat with someone like Oprah Winfrey was floated months ago and is now back on the cards. This makes me really feel like Justin was going to release new music at the end of last year, because if it was on the table months ago, why? Because that was supposed to happen. You know, the book came out. He was going to release his new music. How can I blow this over? Okay, let me do a sit-down interview like Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, and then I'll release my single like a day later. They obviously just decided to push the release back a little bit. But now that Justin Timberlake is fanning the flames, he's trying to give Oprah a call. So Page Six exclusively reported that Justin is seething over the negative press he has received and irked that it is overshadowing his new music. An insider says Justin had hoped the backlash from Spears' memoir would have blown over by now so that he could focus on his new album, which he's very excited about, but every day it's something new. So they also said that his sales were hurting, and that's why he was trying to do the sit-down interview with Oprah. The thing is, like, are his sales hurting? Justin is coming to my city in Cleveland, and the tickets sold out like that. I mean, obviously, you can buy them on the secondary market, but he also just announced a second leg of the tour. So it's like, are your sales hurting, or are you announcing a second leg of the tour? You know, I don't know. My initial reaction when Justin Timberlake dropped his new song, I loved it. Banger. It reminded me of old school Justin. It was giving mirrors. We all loved it. Us millennial girlies, we were in it, right? And then it's like, I knew all this stuff had happened, but some time had passed and I was like ready to go to the Justin Timberlake concert when he comes to Cleveland on July 7th. You know, I was there. Now I'm like, oh God. You know, like, he escalated the situation by making that statement on stage. We all know that Britney has been through a lot. She still is going through a lot, and she clearly is not in a great place. Not to mention, she and Justin are in two completely different places when it comes to their career. So what is the point of him saying something? Is it to shut online trolls up? Dude, you're in your 40s. Deal with it. Deal with the online trolls. People are still streaming your music. People are still buying your ticket sales. Like, deal with it. Like, what point are you trying to prove? Because you're just making yourself look like an idiot, honestly. I've talked about this a lot lately, the anti-cancel culture, which I believe Justin Timberlake is fully leaning into. It's almost like leaning into whatever people are mad at you about. You know, you can't cancel me because I'm owning it, whatever. But I just think that he could have done without it. And this might sound, I don't mean this in a bad way, but in this situation, Justin Timberlake has to be, I don't even want to say like the bigger person, because that's not what it's about. But like I said, it's clear that he and Britney are in two totally different places in life. So leave her alone. Just leave her alone. Just leave her alone. Just makes him look bad. Bad, in my opinion. Okay? Okay.
Today's sponsor is Factor Meals. Finally, starting to get warmer, you want to spend your time outside and not in the kitchen. With Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Visit factormeals.com/poptalks50 and use code poptalks50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you will always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. You can treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. Head to factormeals.com/poptalks50 and use code poptalks50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code poptalks50 at factormeals.com/poptalks50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Let's move on to this week's deep dive. I opened up the deep dive submissions to you. A lot of you guys wanted to talk about Taylor Swift and Justin Timberlake, but we got to do a Vanderpump Rules recap. This episode, I think, was actually better than the premiere episode. The premiere episode, like we said last week, you know, we had to lay the groundwork. We had to lay the foundation of where everybody was in their relationships. I think the fact that Tom wasn't in the first episode was not the best for them. I know that they wanted to make it a little bit more dramatic, but with Tom being back, I thought it definitely added some drama and suspense to the show. So we start, and can I just say, you know, I love Ariana. I do. I love her. She's my girl. Her room makes my skin crawl. Like, if your room looks like Ariana, I'm sorry, but how do you live like that? How do you live like that? Boxes everywhere, clothes up to the ceiling. Like, can you see your bed? I don't understand it. I don't understand it. But we're back in the house. Tom is there. Ariana's there. Anne is there. God bless Anne. Tom's assistant, who, poor girl, has to be the mediator between two seething exes. And you have to remember, this is only like 2 months after Scandoval. So like the tension is still so high. And poor Anne is like, every 5 seconds, she's texting away on the phone. So sorry. You know, like, she's like crying into her phone. Ariana, Tom wants to have a birthday party. And then Ariana's like, I will call the cops. So sorry. We got to get Anne on the podcast. She has her own podcast. I want to listen to it. And I want to see if she will engage with us, because God bless her. That is so awkward. So awkward. And they're fighting over little stuff. You know, Tom wants to have a party at the house for his birthday, his 40th or his 41st. Who knows? Who knows how old Tom Sandoval actually is? And Ariana's like, no, it's my house too. You guys are up until the wee hours of the morning. You trashed the place. So no. So it's like, on one hand, yes, I understand where she's coming from. It's her house. You know, she doesn't want to be woken up at 5 o'clock in the morning by people skinny dipping in the pool. Same. I would be exactly the same. But at the same time, you can tell that she wants to make his life miserable, which I would want to too. Like, I am not even faulting over that, because if it was me, oh my gosh, I can't even tell you what I would do. I probably shouldn't tell you what I would do, because it made me look like a cuckoo. Okay, anyways. So Tom has his little support system. It is Anne. It's Jason, his manager, which, if you guys remember the BravoCon story, Jason. I also met Jason when I was locked in the hotel room with Tom Sandoval for 35 minutes. Jason's a gem. I love Jason. He was very nice to me. We took the elevator down together, went and got him Michael Rapaport in the hotel lobby. It was wild, you guys. If you missed the BravoCon episode, you need to go back and listen to it. But Jason asks about Raquel, and this is the first time that we're hearing Tom talk about Raquel, and Tom is still in love with Raquel. And it's like, I don't know, you know, kind of like Raquel has been saying, were they in love, or were they in love with the idea of each other? Don't really know. But, you know, Tom is sober. He's like, I'm waiting for Raquel to get out of her treatment center, because if she can't drink right now, I can't drink right now. And while Tom Sandoval, I find him to still be pretty unlikable, I will say he is a bit more likable when he's sober. I know he's not sober anymore. He was sober for 8 months. But I just feel like he was a bit more even keeled, maybe. He wasn't as reactive. I don't know. So then we switch to Lala and Ariana. They go and get smoothies. And Lala is starting to push back on Ariana a little bit. And I think that this is going to be a theme throughout the season of Vanderpump Rules, right? There are cracks. And I think Lala falls in this category. I think Sheena is eventually going to fall in this category, where when you go through a traumatic breakup like this, if I'm Ariana, like, you do want yes people around you, because you need that. It's like you're heartbroken, your world has been flipped upside down, and then you have people who like want to play devil's advocate, and you're like, no, I need my girls right now to ride or die for me. I feel like Katie is that person to Ariana this season. I don't feel like Lala or Sheena are, which is kind of crazy, because Sheena was her best friend for however long. Lala, I understand, I feel like, you know, I've said it a million times, they were never the closest friends. I also feel like, this is interesting, I also feel like Lala and Sheena care the most about making a good show. I mean, we even, I've talked at length about Sheena doing that last year with Tom Schwartz and Raquel. But I'm seeing it now with Lala, specifically last episode when she sent Raquel the voice memo. You know, all of a sudden she has this change of heart. She was screaming at her saying, I never liked you, you know, to hi, Raquel, you know, just very different, which you can have a change of opinion. I'm not saying that. But then you go on Watch What Happens Live and she was like, well, I didn't know Rachel wasn't coming back to the show at that point. So to me, that is also ringing alarm bells that Lala's going to do what Lala has to do to make a good show, to create conflict, because conflict makes a good show. So she's like, Ariana, it's his house too. Like, he can have a birthday party if he wants. Like, don't you want him to whatever? And Ari's like, no, I don't want him to do anything. I don't want him to breathe in my direction. So that's going to be more of a storyline, especially, you know, because we see in the trailer at the end, Lala has that comment where she says, I've never experienced someone getting cheated on. And all of a sudden she's like, God. So we're starting to see the back and forth a little bit. But she also asks about Dan. And Ariana's like, yes, we have to stay somewhere else when Dan comes in town. And in a shocking revelation, Ariana says that Dan has changed her mind about potentially having children, which was very interesting because as long as we have known Ariana, we have known that she doesn't want to get married and she doesn't want to have kids. And now she's with Dan. She says, you know, being with Tom and being with Dan taught me that your partner does affect your desire to have children. I think that and maturity also, you know, changes circumstances in your life. Like, it's hard to say, you know, especially for someone like Ariana. I can remember her talking about not wanting to have children and how she just said, you know, I've wanted to accomplish so much in my life. And I want that to be my priority, you know, accomplishing all of these goals. And I don't know how, you know, not saying that she couldn't do it, but like, how would it look? How would she be able to accomplish what she wants to if she has children? Well, now she is. I mean, Broadway was her biggest dream and she's there. She's in it. She's Roxy Hart in Chicago. So it's like she is checking all of those things off of her bucket list, and she does have a good guy in Dan. So maybe that will be the next step. You know, we do see in the trailer at one point, her and Tom argue, you know, she says something about, you know, my lawyer will deal with you about my children, you know, and she goes, my, Tom says something about like your children, you know, so planting seeds as well. Something I didn't know, Dan's 40, looks flawless. Drop the skincare routine, Dan. I thought it was like 33. Love it. I want to see more Dan. I do. I got to say, I do. Okay. So then we move on to Pump. Pump is closing down. And it's so funny because I didn't know that they were going to show this flashback, but they're walking into Pump and all I could think about was when Schwartz couldn't get through one bartending shift at Pump. And then 5 seconds later, they were showing it like he ran out because he had a panic attack, Schwartzy. So it's sad. I've heard conflicting stories when it comes to what really happened with Pump. Of course, Lisa Vanderpump's side of the story is that rent was going up and, you know, to make it worthwhile, they just didn't want to do it. The landlord, I think, said that like they weren't paying rent. And so it was like shut down. I don't know. Pull up the records. I didn't have the time or the energy to do that today. But in my opinion, the most interesting part of the episode was this conversation between Tom Schwartz and Tom Sandoval. So they sit down at this restaurant and Schwartz is talking about how Sandoval was banned from Schwartz and Sandy's, that the business partners wanted him to take a step back because it was affecting the livelihood of everybody, you know, Sandoval. But Schwartz is like, I expected Sandoval to be proactive. I expected him to be like, okay, let's get a publicist. Let's do whatever. And instead, Sandoval booked it with his band touring, you know, singing about Schwartz's mom and Rachel, you know. And he was like, dude, I had no money. I was overdrawing my account.
I had to tour to make some type of money because Ariana hasn't paid the bills in 8 months, which fans were quick on the jump to notice that 8 months, which when did they film this? June of last year. He said 8 months then. He said 8 months on the bio file. So like, is that just the number that you would like to stick with or what? But you know what I like here, and this is the first time that we actually see this from Schwartz, is that he's not letting Sandoval steamroll the conversation. He's pushing back, you know, and Sandoval says, are you going to stick with me or what? And Schwartz says, I'm going to do what's best for me. And I'm like, yes, Schwartz, yes. But then I think, was this just a performative scene? Because what has been best for Schwartz? His relationship with Sandoval hasn't changed at all. I mean, we saw it a week ago on the Vile Files where Tom Schwartz was still making excuses or trying to talk Sandoval out of, you know, him putting his foot in his mouth. I saw a preview for next week where Schwartz invites everybody to Lake Tahoe and everybody, right? They're all talking about why are you inviting Tom Sandoval? And Lala says something along the lines of, you're going to look back one day and you're going to wish that you had changed your relationship with Tom Sandoval in this moment, because he's going to drag you down at some point in life. He's going to drag you down. It's, history repeats itself, right? And I don't think she's necessarily wrong. I mean, I don't know. Schwartz is so loyal to Tom. It's crazy. It's crazy how much more loyal Tom Schwartz is to Tom Sandoval than he was to his wife. Like, that is so crazy. You know, Schwartz talking about how Schwartz and Sandy's became the center of the storm. You know, it was beyond bad reviews. People were vandalizing the place, you know, unhappy partners, unhappy staff. It all makes sense now about the intro package. The Toms are at Tom Tom and not Schwartz and Sandy's. We all thought that was kind of weird, right? We get this new intro. The girls are in Something About Her, their business. The drone flies over to the boys and they're at Tom Tom. And we're like, why aren't they at Schwartz and Sandy's? That's kind of weird. But now as they're starting to detail the backlash that Schwartz and Sandy's was actually getting, it makes sense. I don't think we're going to see Schwartz and Sandy's at all on this season because, like I said, the partners want to distance themselves from this as much as possible, which is sad because it's the opposite of what Schwartz and Tom Sandoval wanted going into this new venture, you know, starting the bar. We already have the publicity. We already have the name. It's our name in lights and people are going to want to come because it's Schwartz and Sandy's. Not anymore. And your partners don't even want to show it on a TV show because of all of the backlash. And Ariana even says on the after show, you know, why does he have to have this birthday party at his house? He has a bar that he owns. Maybe it's because they weren't allowed to film there. And Tom Sandoval wanted his birthday party to be on the show. I don't know. Just a thought. We're introduced to Tori this episode, which she's going to be involved in a love triangle with Katie Maloney and Tom Schwartz. She's ending up being Summer Moon's nanny at first, which is an interesting way to introduce her to the group. But Sheena and Brock have this little spat in front of everyone where they're talking about Sheena not being able to handle day-to-day activities, you know, how she said she has OCD and anxiety and depression. And Brock's like, you surround yourself with yes people. And it gets like really heated. I was really surprised by that little argument in the moment. I mean, you don't really want to go down on this thought spiral, but, you know, we've seen a lot of speculation about Brock's past. And I guess I was just surprised that he would be, I mean, he wasn't like a Tasmanian devil, like don't get me wrong, but he was very, and I don't want to say aggressive either, I guess like headstrong in his argument. He was like not backing down at all. And it did sound like, I don't know the terminology that I want to use. You guys get what I'm saying, but like, I found it interesting that Brock, for everything that he's had to like combat about his past, that he would be that confident to handle that situation like that, I guess we could say, or that conversation. But anyways, then we get to James and Allie and Tom, and Tom Sandoval inviting James and Allie to his birthday party. And they actually go, which I'm glad. You know, James also taking one for the team. Want to make sure that this is a good season of Vanderpump Rules. Go to the birthday party. Pee in the bushes on the way out, but go to the birthday party. And James really wants an apology for the betrayal, right? He says, you know, I saw Tom Sandoval. He says this in the after show. I saw Tom 2 days before the scandal broke, and he acted like nothing happened. Everything was good. Everything was good as gold, as Sheena Shea would say. And, you know, he goes into this party hoping that he'll be able to finally have a conversation with Tom and that Tom will say, look, dude, I'm sorry for betraying you. But that doesn't happen at all. In fact, the opposite happens. You know, they walk in. It's really awkward. James is like, who are these people? Which it was kind of sad, right? Because it was like everybody that was on Tom, everyone that was at Tom's birthday party was like people that he worked with, like the sound tech, his manager, his backup singer, his vocal coach, you know, like it was kind of sad. But then they sit down for the first time and Tom Sandoval apologizes for not reaching out. And James says, you don't want to apologize for betraying me. And he goes, betraying you, you know? And he's like, it's a yes or no, dude. There's no need to deflect. And that's exactly what he does. He goes, well, 10 years ago when you started getting with Kristen, and James was like, dude, you've got to be kidding me. We're going to talk about something that happened 10 years ago. Really? Is that really what we're about to do? And it is. And it's classic Tom Sandoval. It's all about deflection. Always. He can never, ever just say, I'm sorry that I hurt you. Period. End of sentence. No, there's always a but. There's always an if. There's always some type of dependent clause. I don't even know if that's the right terminology. What is that, like fifth grade English? I don't know. He can't. And that is his biggest downfall, is that he can't do it. He cannot take any accountability without also pointing the finger at somebody else. And I think part of it is a defense mechanism for how much heat he's getting. He's like, I don't understand why I'm getting this much heat when James was with Kristen 10 years ago, you know? But it's not the time or place to bring that up. People have their own opinions about what happened between James and Kristen 10 years ago. That's not what's going on right now. So he walks out, he pees in the bushes. And can we just say, Allie, girl's girl, the fact that she stays in the car, I love her. I love her. I feel like she's still normal enough, you know, like she hasn't really let the fame get to her head that much, because it would be very easy for like somebody who's new into the Vanderpump Rules scene to like be dating James Kennedy and be like, oh, I want to get screen time. I'm going in. Like, I'm going in to Tom Sandoval. Are you kidding me? But she's like, no, I don't have a relationship with Tom Sandoval. I have a friendship with Ariana. I don't feel the need to garner a relationship with Tom Sandoval for screen time. So, Allie is a real one. Like I said, the episode ends with James peeing in the bushes and it says to be continued. Did we need it to be continued? Like, dramatic. Like, what? Do you think he's going to go back and pee in the pool? Like, not everything needs to be to be continued, but I guess that's just what they wanted. But Vanderpump Rules, smash ratings, you guys. I think I saw 3.2 million viewers. So people are still eating it up, the premiere episode. People are still eating it up. As are we. So there you go. Thanks for tuning in this week to MPT. If it's Friday, wish me happy birthday. Okay. In the DMs. If not, Extra Pop comes out on Friday. Pop of Batch. I haven't even been able to sit down and watch The Bachelor yet this week. I heard it's wild between Maria and Sydney. So I'm excited to dive into that. If not, we'll see you back next week for another episode of MPT. Leave a review on my birthday. Leave a freaking review, okay? I know how many people listen to this podcast. I know how many reviews I have. They're not equal. So leave a review. 5 stars. I'll love you like a sis. If not, I'll see you next week. Bye, guys.
A Huda Media Production.